Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Podcast. We're talking Wednesday's six-game midweek slate. I'm Adam Zadroik, joined by Ryan Belongi. Unfortunately, the DraftKings slate was submitted early. It came out late, so Jordan Cooper is not with us. But before we dive into the six games, we have a special treat for everyone listening and watching. Are you looking for NFTs that are both fun and of actual utility? Try So Rare, the largest NFT-based fantasy game. You can collect, trade, and compete with officially licensed digital cards of soccer players from over 180 clubs on So Rare. That's SORARE.com. Ryan, so we just sat through, two upsetting games, I want to say. We had a red card in the first 10 minutes for Newcastle, so Ryan Fraser was subbed off. And he was going to have the exclusive set piece role for Newcastle. And then Rafinha got a late winner for Leeds. Not a winning day for us, I believe. So let's turn that around Wednesday. Is that a good idea for us?
Yeah, definitely. Not a winning day. When Ryan Fraser goes off 9 or 10 minutes in, you have him in every lineup. And a lot of Newcastle, I think a lot of people were on Newcastle today. And yeah, the red card kind of just killed the game. No goals in any of the games. But anyway, yeah, let's move on to this six-game slate. It's interesting. Two of the games start 45 minutes later than the other two. So you might have a little scrambling to do. There's a little bit of scramble today. I wasn't planning on playing Gallagher. And then Milivojevic and Olise weren't in the lineup. So scrambled to get some Gallagher in. Tyler Roberts, 4,000, ended up starting at forward. Changed some things. Didn't work out too well, but so yeah, just plan for that. But yeah, just to break down the slate, three really big favorites, all on the road. Chelsea, slightly the biggest favorite away to Watford. Then City away to Villa and Liverpool away to Everton. Each of those teams have a very similar goal total, about 2.1. Then after that, Wolves home to Burnley. They are minus 105. West Ham home to Brighton, plus 104. And then the closest matchup, Southampton home to Leicester. Southampton plus 145. Leicester plus 198. So yeah, it's first glance, haven't had too much time to look at it, but there are a lot of defenders worth playing, a few midfielders worth paying up for, a couple, at least one sort of egregious price in the midfield, some interesting prices at forward. I think the decision, at least for cash games, is where to punt or where to pay down. Forward, midfield, defender. I don't know. We'll try to figure it out. What do you think? How do you see the slate? Or do you want to start at forward or
Yeah, we can do the usual forward first, but just building off what you said on, you know, this late scramble, we definitely had that today. And the thing is, so one of the second matches, you have Manchester City, you have Pep Roulette, and that is, I think there's 100% going to be a scramble with that, because there's a chance Cole Palmer, you know, a guy that started a couple matches ago, he starts up front. I put in at RotoWire, Alexander Zinchenko. I put him in this morning because it's not like De Bruyne, Foden, or Grealish are going to be ready to start, it doesn't look like. So if Zinchenko's in there, he's 3.8K at defender. And the thing with that is, you know, the late scramble. If he's starting again in that midfield spot, he's going to be very popular, I'd say. And that would definitely change everyone's lineup in that case. But
yeah, that's a good point. Just, you know, we can touch on tournaments later, but first thing, it makes me think that City are going to be under-owned in tournaments. A lot of people will just be making lineups before the City and Liverpool lineups come out. The Liverpool one isn't likely to be that surprising. So, you know, people sort of know what to do there. I can see people just sort of being done even by the time the City lineup comes out. Maybe not getting some of those guys in. And then Zinchenko, yeah. 3,800. Yeah, I think he's a good play, especially because, you know, in the lineups, at least I've seen for now, if you don't have Foden or Mahrez in there, Zinchenko will likely split the sets with Gundogan for 3,800. But I still don't know, you know, he never really ends up that popular. And he probably would be on this slate, but it's tough because there's so many expensive defenders to play. So it's just, yeah, a lot of decisions. Obviously, lineups are going to dictate a lot of that. But, yeah, there's just a lot of ways you can go, I guess.
Yeah, so over the weekend, it was basically the discussion we had was to Salah or not to Salah. And it turned out it was to Liverpool or not to Liverpool, because a lot of the winning lineups I saw, it was, you know, just full of Liverpool. Like Thiago got the goal at whatever price he was, and he was a popular second forward people went to. And, you know, Salah, he had the assist and he had 15 points. So it was kind of like if you faded Salah but still went with, I don't know, 5-6 other Liverpool players, you probably had a good day just because of the other matches on the slate. But Salah, yeah, 10.5, expensive.
Yeah, too expensive for this slate, at least for me. And funny you say that, you bring up some bad memories. If you play 5 or 6 Liverpool players, I played 6 Liverpool players, which is the most you can play in the big, I forget what it was, 333 maybe. But they weren't Jota and they weren't Thiago. So somehow I didn't end up cashing with 6 Liverpool players when no other team did anything. But yeah, anyway, Salah again, 10.5. No, I mean, I don't think you can do it on this slate. Like GPP on a 6-game slate where Salah is the most expensive, he's like makes more sense for GPP because you'll get him less owned than he usually is. And Liverpool has just been playing amazing. I mean, they're just tearing teams apart. I think Everton are in trouble in that game, but yeah, not for cash. I don't know. So then let's stick for cash for now. So who's the first forward you go to, or who's the, I guess, forward in the expensive range that you're looking at?
I mean, again, this is Pep Roulette. If Riyad Mahrez is in there, he's going to be the guy, really. Again, that depends on some other things, but when Mahrez is in the team, he's taking a lot of set pieces. Sometimes he's splitting with Gundogan in there, but 8,500, you know, he has those big Champions League matches just going down. Jared Bowen, he's didn't start last match, so you got to think he's going to come back in and be close to a full 90, 7,900. And those are probably the two, you know, the main guys in there. Like, you don't want Townsend against Liverpool at 7,800. McNeil is, you know, 7,700 away to Wolves. Again, not a great spot. So it's guys that are okay overall. I mean, I kind of like just being cash games, just, you know, Mr. Cash himself, Pascal Gross, like 7,900. If we're getting the same Brighton lineups that we've been getting, you know, that's, I think it's just going to be a pretty even match against West Ham. Like, he's pretty much a given for what, 10 to 12 points every week, just because of set pieces, basically. So he's probably the main place I'd look at there, just in terms of, you know, forwards, Elgin, yeah. Forwards with set pieces.
Yeah. I pretty much agree with that. Mahrez, yeah, for 8,500, it's probably a little bit too cheap. So he probably makes sense at the top range of forward. Bowen and Gross, yeah, I think you could go with either guy. I probably lean Bowen in that spot just for the upside. I mean, 2 goals, 4 assists, plays for the home team, probably the slightly better team versus Gross, who doesn't have a goal yet and isn't taking that many shots. But he's safe, yeah, if you can get there.
There's also a chance Cresswell doesn't play, so that may give Bowen more set pieces. I know, yeah. You know, Benrahma has been taking some, and Fornals has been taking some, so that's something in there. But if Cresswell is out, that's got to mean good things for Bowen, though.
Yeah, definitely. At least he'll take all the left-footed ones, maybe a couple others. Mm-hmm. Then McNeil. Yeah, you know, I think Ashley Westwood's out, so I'm not so sure that means like a monopoly for McNeil. It probably doesn't, but it might mean a few extra ones. Away to Wolves isn't terrible, so, you know, he seems like a similar option to Gross. Then, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think I was tinkering around with construction, and I wanted to pay down at least one forward spot.
I mean, there are options. That's the thing.
Yeah, there are options, like past the 7K range. And, you know, Antonio is, I wouldn't necessarily call him a cash play. Well, I definitely wouldn't, but 6,800. I mean, that's the cheapest he's been all season. I guess that's okay, but I'd probably just keep going down. There isn't much, though. I mean, Southampton forwards are cheap. Again, you're not going to get set pieces, but maybe, you know, Armstrong, Adams, and you can go a little bit lower. You could maybe get half the Watford set pieces with Hucho Hernandez. I don't know if you want to do that against Chelsea, but, you know, depending on the lineup. And then,
did you scroll past Kai Havertz here, 5,900?
Ooh, yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, okay. I got Havertz here, 5,900. That price tag sticks way out. Now, like, it's – so I would say that he's going to play 60 minutes, and that's why he's priced like that. Like, it's almost for sure, you know, he's going to start in the number 9, and Lukaku's going to come on, especially after Tuchel said that he's ready for more minutes now. So, like, yeah, Havertz price jumped out at me right away. But you got to figure that's for 60 minutes. Now against Watford, you know, that might be okay. So, like, I think you could go there. I mean, what do you think? What do you think?
I mean, I'm always in the fade Havertz camp, even when he's cheap. I think it was it must have been early this season or even late last season. Like, he always had this, I don't know, around 5,000 price tag, even probably sub 5,000 at times. Just because he has no floor, really. And, you know, he's figured things out a little more this season, I guess. And but he does 60 minutes, and he's coming from a minor hamstring issue. So that's another thing to worry about. And sure, he's, you know, he's the ultimate GPP play and everything. Like, obviously, you're going to play him over, what, a 6,000 Thiago. So, Chelsea are the bigger favorite. He's probably the safer option. I guess safer probably isn't the right word, but he's more likely to score than the guys around him. So that's what you want in GPPs. And if you're fine with the 60 minutes, like, sure, go for it. And you're probably going to want to, obviously in that situation, you're going to want to stack him with other Chelsea pieces. So,
yeah, and these anytime goal scoring odds up on the RotoWire cheat sheet, Havertz is third. Third at plus 120. Salah minus 140. Raul Jimenez plus 110. And Havertz plus 120. So, yeah, 5,900. That's pretty good. Wouldn't do it in cash, though. It's kind of
yeah, I wonder, like, with those odds, you think people are going to be using Havertz in cash?
I don't know. Like, it I guess it depends what – what people use for a construction, but I could see it. See, I'm not the best guy to ask for who what people are going to do, only because I'm not in cash, like, looking at people's lineups, just because I don't, like, normally play cash. But I don't – it seems bad to me. It seems – Havertz in cash seems bad to me. Like, I could argue with people on this, but I'd play Armstrong over him. I'm not saying Armstrong is a cash play, but give me 90 minutes of Armstrong over 60 of Havertz for the same price. I mean, Armstrong's got a floor and he can score goals too. So yeah, I don't know. Will he be owned? I wish I could tell you. I mean, probably not too much on a 6-game slate. I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
I got to think, you know, just everyone who runs their lineups through the odds, I'm sure on a lot of optimizers and everything, like, he's got to be high up there in terms of value just because of those goal odds, just because of the price. I mean, like, it kind of makes sense. Like, usually when you get, you know, these cheap forwards with good goal odds, they're usually some people will use them. Like, of course, they're not going to be probably 20%+, but there will be people that use them. I think probably around maybe 10% in, you know, main single double ups, that kind of thing, but obviously nothing overwhelming though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I get it. If you
especially
know,
on a 6-game slate, I guess you could say.
Right, too. If you go strictly by the goal odds, I guess it makes sense for 5,900. But I don't know if people normally play for a little upside there, want to get a bigger floor. But yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem great to me. Is there any other cheap forwards? Like, I mean, again,
yeah, Chris Wood.
Yeah, I'm looking at that range. Hernandez, Wood, Richarlison. I mean, it's weird to see Richarlison 4,900. I mean, Everton have been really bad. I mean, really bad. I think like
Richarlison just can't play as the central striker. He provides almost nothing in terms of fantasy.
Yeah, and that's a pretty tough spot.
I mean, I do like Nathan Tella as a player for Southampton. I think maybe he started one match this season, but again, this is midweek, so there will be a rotation that you don't expect. Sure, he's a guy that might get 70 minutes, but he's 4,100 and he's pretty active with the ball. That's probably not going to happen, but in case it happens, that's a tidbit there for the people. Oh, Joao Pedro at 3,500. He may start just because Watford have a ton of injuries, but he's a Watford player going against Chelsea. So,
option. Yeah, these options, you know, not being so great down here. Maybe
Theo Walcott, 3,500. There you go.
I mean, I don't think him or Tella is starting, but you're right. It's midweek. They could. I guess these options are all kind of bad, so maybe people will go to Havertz. I mean, to be honest, I just play Cucho. I mean,
if you want to take that route.
Yeah, I just, like, just for cash, like,
right.
If he's taking the sets, I don't know, 5K seems okay. I mean, I'd much rather play a player against Chelsea than City or Liverpool. Not that it's like, you know, just if they give up a little bit more fantasy points than City or Liverpool.
Right. Yeah, just the overall thought with that is I just don't know about, like, I kind of like Watford in some recent matches, but they just have so many injuries right now that I don't know what they're going to be looking like, because they're not going to have Sarr, they're not going to have Dennis. Like, those two guys have had some really good matches this season. They play on the wing, and I don't know how threatening they're going to be, I guess, in this match. So
no, I agree. Like, they're in a tough spot with the injuries, and they might just get dominated. Hernandez, just I like him as a fantasy player. I guess he gets fantasy points, I guess, with for lack of a better way of putting it.
But I think Lookman at 5,500 is a fine option there. Not the best matchup at Southampton, but
that's another one.
Like he's the same price as like these Aston Villa guys that are going against Man City, like Leon Bailey and then Ollie Watkins. Like he's probably going to do better than those guys. Even Joshua King right there. He just has a better matchup than those guys.
All this is like making Havertz look even better. I mean, just better than these options, I guess.
Yeah. Otherwise, okay. I mean, if you're not looking to spend, you know, sub 6K, it's probably, you're just looking at all the favorites is mainly what we're talking about outside of, you know, Bowen and Gross. I personally like just the price tag here, but Sadio Mane's 8,200. Mm-hmm. When you compare Salah at 10.5 and Jota at 9.3, like that seems like the most reasonable way to go there.
Yeah. Speaking for tournaments, I totally agree. Just the price tag on Mane will mean that I'll have him more than Salah or Jota for sure without even thinking.
You think that price will make him more popular though?
I mean, I would hope so. Like you could gauge like how sharp the soccer tourneys are getting by it or not by the popularity on these three Liverpool forwards. Like with nothing else considered, Mane should absolutely be the most popular. He's clearly the best play when he's $1,000 cheaper than Jota and more than 2,000 cheaper than Salah. I mean, I always think of these Liverpool guys as like all of them have similar chances at scoring two goals. So I don't really want to look too much more into it than that. And so start with price. I mean, yeah, it's a no-brainer for me, but it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends. You know, people are looking, oh, two goals for Jota, one goal for Jota. They're kind of looking at that. But I feel like Jota's been the cheapest of that trio almost all season. And then as for Mane, like, I don't know if it's been this season, but there's been times when Mane and Salah are fairly even in terms of pricing. So, like, when you're paying 2.3 up for Salah, I guess that's the GPP move because a lot of people probably aren't going to be doing that. And then, you know, Salah gets the hat trick or something, but.
Yep. No, yeah, that's a good GPP strategy to pay up for guys when people aren't going to, and Salah is like a great candidate for that. So let's move to midfield. I mean, just to like finish off with forward. So if there's, you know, from a cash perspective, when it's tough to decide, when it's tough to decide like what your construction is going to be or where to spend down at, like rather than forcing it, just like I'll think of like, well, who's the best punt? Like what position has the best punt? So I guess we can see if there's a punt at midfield, see if there's a punt at defender, rather than like forcing a punt at forward to make sure you get in the expensive guys you want at the other positions. Now, like that's okay too, but I guess it depends on the quality of punts, I guess is the point. But let's move on to midfield.
Yeah, I guess up before that, I guess this kind of ties to Reece James, but for Callum Hudson-Odoi, I mean, sure, he may not start even, so his question might not matter, but he's 7,500. What do you think the difference is between him playing as, you know, a regular, you know, attacking midfielder compared with playing on the wing, which is possible, you know, if Reece James is out or something like that? Do you consider playing on the wing for more crosses, that kind of thing, or you think that the higher upside as an attacking midfielder is, are you more likely to play him in that usual attacking midfield role?
Yeah, I think I'd rather have him in the attacking midfield role. Just because it's more goal upside. Like I do like him sometimes in that wing back role, but it depends. Like if Lukaku was starting, for instance, I'd expect like more crosses if he played there, but like there was a thing with Chelsea last year and the year before last where Like Reece James, for instance, he would normally play at that position. Some games he would get double-digit crosses, and some games he would barely cross. And it depended whether or not Giroux or Tammy Abraham was starting, then Reece James would cross more. But if Timo started up top, then they wouldn't cross as much. So I don't really know if that's still a thing with Lukaku. But, you know, it probably is. Like, I like to play those wing guys more when they have someone to cross to and when they're trying to cross. But, like, just in general, I'm in it for the upside. So if I play Hudson-Odoi, I want him to score a goal. Mm-hmm. So definitely want him in the front three.
Cool. Yeah, that makes sense. That Chelsea theory probably checks out, but we just haven't seen Lukaku in a month. So we forgot about what happened in all his matches. But
right.
Yeah, for midfield, I think there's, you know, the first guy that stood out to me and probably what I'm going to build, at least my cash lineups around, is Ward-Prowse. He's down to 7,000 in, you know, I guess, yeah, Southampton are favored, even though it's slightly, but they are favored. They are home against Leicester, who still won't have Yuri Tielemans in the midfield. And I think he's going to be, probably in cash games, he should be the highest owned players. Is that long lines of what you're thinking?
Yeah, he should be the highest owned player in cash. It's just, it's like, it's a clear misprice. Yeah, 7,000. I mean, it's a big misprice too. Like, he should be 8 on this slate.
Some he was 8,000 at more. Liverpool last match.
Right, like you could argue that, you know, he could be 8,500 on this slate pretty easily. Again, like, slight favorites against Leicester, who aren't as good with Tielemans, and just Leicester's more vulnerable. I don't know than maybe I shouldn't say than people realize. People probably realize this now, but the salary doesn't show that. I mean, it's not like it's just a great price. I guess should be a pretty even match. 7,000 for Ward-Prowse taking all the sets with PK duty seems good enough to me. I don't think there's much more to say.
Yeah, so if you do end up punting on a forward, so you're probably going to have some money. Well, maybe not probably, because there are some expensive defenders, but is there any reason just to go with another one of these midfielders here? Like, you're not going to be going with Mason Mount or anything, but you got Gundogan at 8,300, a revived James Maddison here at 8,100. Seems like an extreme price. He was 6,000 against Watford last match. Probably not the way to go. Ziyech is at 7,800, and that's kind of about it for the midfield-only plays there.
Yeah. So I think Maddison... I guess we'll start with Maddison.
I mean, I'd play Gundogan over Maddison. That's what my look would be.
It's funny that it's come full circle now, but I'm sort of on Maddison again. Not necessarily for this slate, but just in general, I think the salary is pretty accurate. I mean, this is Maddison back to his role. Without Tielemans in there, he's been taking pretty much everything. You know, sort of running the show. The 6K against Watford last weekend. I mean, he was way underpriced then. Is he overpriced now? I don't know. Like, he's probably efficiently priced now. So, like, I think you can go to Maddison. I mean, like, you can argue that, you know, Maddison has more upside than Ward-Prowse. At least, I don't know, maybe at least... At least I think so. I mean, Ward-Prowse doesn't really score or assist from open play, but he scores and assists a lot from dead balls. Gundogan, like, I think you could go there too. He's taking set pieces now. I guess it depends on the lineup, but he's got upside too. So I think you can pay for those spots. I don't think it's like necessarily a mistake. Again, it depends like what you do at the other positions, but like those are good options. If Ziyech was going to play 90 minutes, like matchup against Watford's good, I didn't check the set pieces from last game, but it seemed like Alonzo was taking more than
Ziyech. Alonzo took a ton.
And James even. I don't know if James is going to play, but James was back on sets too. And just like the uncertainty around Ziyech, I probably wouldn't play Ziyech. Seems like a better tournament play. But
yeah, he still had a floor of 16 last game. He had two set pieces. Alonzo had 13. James had 4.
Yeah, so I guess depends on the lineup. If Reece James isn't in, you'd probably split him with Alonzo for sure, but probably not like a cash play on this slate. Decent price, though. Decent tournament play. But yeah, so if we're not going to spend up, because those are pretty good spend up options. Madison, I guess. I think I would rate Madison slightly above Gundogan.
So I'm getting here. I'm getting the vibe that your GPP move is going to be you're stacking Madison, Vardy, and Barnes. Is that what's going on?
I don't know if I'll have the money for all that because, you know, we'll get to it in a second. But I'm going to want to play three good defenders, even for tournaments. I mean, most likely. So it's going to be tough to pay up in all the spots, but Harvey Barnes is cheap. So yeah, I mean, since we're in midfield,
he's always cheap.
Yeah. And you know, probably rightly so, you know, people probably know I like Barnes, but this Leicester team isn't like what they were at a time last season or even at points earlier in this season. I don't know. I don't like the way they've been playing quite as much, but I like Barnes's price. So yeah, like really good tournament play for that price. Cause you're going to need cheap goals on this slate, at least, you know, for the construction that I like to play, like if I'm paying up for the floors at defense and trying to find cheap goals in my attacking spots, then yeah, give me a guy who's 4,500 or 4,900 and, you know, essentially playing in the front three. Definitely. What else for midfield and like the mid range?
I don't know if there's anything. I'm just scrolling through the list here and Buendia pops up at 5,300. We had, I don't know, a 10 minute conversation about it last podcast. He ended up only playing 5 minutes. So that's just how lineups and managers work. And we're only guessing here right now, but
yeah.
Ashley Young started that last match, and he had 17.3 points. Now he's at 4,700 against Manchester City. Probably not a thing to do. I mean, above 5,000, like, so if we go below, what, Ziyech at 7,800, and then above 5,000, like, I'm not really looking at any of those guys. I see no reason to play really any of them. I guess that was kind of the same situation in Ford, unless I'm missing something here.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. At least definitely not for cash games. I mean, GPP, like, Fornals is always interesting. Like, his price is a little bit cheaper. You know, we had seen him get up over 7K, and he's been taking a few set pieces. So, yeah, like, Fornals seems like an okay tournament option. We know he has upside. But yeah, Villa, no, I think you can cross Villa off. There's no reason to play anybody against City on this slate. I mean, almost in general, but especially not on a 6-game slate.
Albrighton's 5,200. He started 2 matches ago, went the full 90 against Chelsea. I believe he took some sets too. He's an option again to start. Again, short week, so you don't know what some of these lineups are going to look at.
Yeah, you're right. I'm glad you brought that up in general, because if Albrighton starts, I'd be worried about Madison's role on corner kicks. Worried enough not to roster him. I'm not saying Albrighton would take over him, but he's done it in the past, and he definitely could. I don't think Madison played in that Chelsea game, or maybe he came off the bench.
I just don't think they had any set pieces, is what it was.
Right. But yeah, just the possibility would make me less interested in Madison. Where do we go? Your guy, João Moutinho.
He had, I don't know.
He had an amazing chance to score.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to say?
That, and I think he only had like one cross or one, or okay, ended up being three corners. But for, I don't know, the first 60 minutes, Wolves had no corners and I didn't know what was going on. But
okay, Moutinho. Okay. I'm going to make a, like within 10 minutes of that game, this was in the first 10 minutes. I mean, he got the ball as far forward as I've ever seen him. Center of the 18, no one in front of him. Clean through, shot on goal. I was like after we talked about him, I was almost for sure that he was going to score. I mean, unfortunately, it's probably the best chance he's going to get to score all season. But 4,200, like I'm helping make your Moutinho argument. He's shown a decent floor. So maybe you can punt there.
I think in that matchup, we're not really going to talk a lot about it because it's Wolves and Burnley, lowest implied total there. But so Burnley has two of their regulars out. You already mentioned Westwood, and then was it Tarkowski's out in the back line. So Nathan Collins is starting, and it's projected Jack Cork's going to be starting in central midfield. I think he's more defensive than Westwood is. So I think those two guys out is going to mean more defensive play than Burnley regularly play, and I think that would help, you know, a guy like Moutinho in terms of his floor and set pieces. So
that's a really good point, actually, because Burnley already are a team you like to target. They already give up a decent amount of fantasy points. They should be worse without Westwood, who never comes off the field normally. So like for me, who's a guy who just never plays Moutinho, this like seems like as good of a chance to play him. So he might.
One more thing here. So Ruben Neves is suspended. So they usually play with those two central midfielders, and Neves usually gets more forward than Moutinho. So we get Dendocker in here. He's usually more defensive. Do you think that's going to sway you even more because of Dendocker's playing next to Moutinho? I'm not sure how many times those guys have started next to each other this season, but it's another thing to consider here.
Yeah, it is another thing to consider. I would think.
I guess it didn't change that much. I'm just looking at the matches.
No. I'm just saying. I would think. It should mean Moutinho plays more forward. But you know, maybe sure they don't have. Maybe then they don't have. Quite as much just of an advantage in general without Neves and Moutinho. Like, for instance, they might dominate the game more if Neves is in there. I don't know. I know it's a good point. I guess I should finish it off with, though, I'm like almost probably never playing Moutinho in GPPs anyways, but he does look like a decent cash option. I think you could go there. Your guy, I see that you mentioned at the start, where is he? Same price, Cole Palmer. I would be fine with Cole Palmer, especially because, let's see. Looking at the lineup.
His first start here is, I guess, his only start. He had a floor of 9.7 in the win against Everton. So,
yeah, and he basically played center forward. He was basically playing the false nine. I saw, you know, some formations pre-match had him in the wrong spot. They get City's formation wrong quite a bit. But, you know, if Bernardo Silva starts with Jesus and Sterling or Mahrez or two of those three, then, yeah, you could expect Cole Palmer to basically play forward. So I'll go there. Like, maybe even for cash games, like, give me the goal assist upside. And even, like you say, decent floor. I mean, obviously it's only a one game sample, but when you're playing in City's front three, you at least have somewhat of a floor. So I think that'd be a good option. Yeah.
I think just going, if you want to jump on, if you think, you know, Liverpool are going to dominate the Merseyside Derby here, Jordan Henderson is at 4,600. Fabinho is at 3,600. You know, they're not the best GPP plays, but we saw Thiago get the goal last game. Henderson has scored this season. He has a couple assists. Fabinho has also scored. So if it is a match that Liverpool dominate, and if you want to do some Liverpool stacking, like those guys are cheaper than Thiago, and
yeah,
just possibilities overall.
Yeah, and Henderson has more upside than people realize, especially when Fabinho and Thiago start. Henderson gets forward and supports the attack quite a bit. He should have done better last game. I mean, he got subbed for Milner. Normally Henderson plays 90. I don't like that he got subbed, but yeah, he does have upside. Not for cash, I wouldn't do it, but there's one other guy I was thinking, seeing if we could pay all the way down. So with Ashley Westwood out, I think Brownhill will split the sets with McNeil.
I was just looking at him. I didn't think you were going there, but okay.
I mean, I think he will. Do you? Yeah. I mean, this is just a guess, but he's taken direct free kicks this year. He's taken like one or two other set pieces. You know, Westwood's always on the field, so it's tough to know, but I've seen Brownhill taking before. And the 3,200, like, you know, if you need it, if you're going to play Moutinho, but you like need the 1,000, Brownhill,
yeah, definitely
same thing.
I played Brownhill at some point last season. I don't know if it worked out well for me or not, but so just going back to what you said, the last time that Westwood did not play, Brownhill took 4 corners and McNeil took 0. I don't know what that means, but it's a stat. Burnley lost that match 2-0 at Liverpool. So if Brownhill has taken 4 corners at Liverpool, you got to think he could get a few against Wolves. So
yeah, no, and then that stat, it just makes me think the set piece situation would be exactly the same. Brownhill would do exactly what McNeil does every game. Or sorry, exactly what Westwood does every game. So yeah,
for Westwood at 5,000.
Right. So would you play Ashley Westwood for 3,200? I would. So, you know.
Wolves, yeah.
Might be the spot to punt, like, if you need it. It doesn't seem too bad, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. Seems like we're going to be mentioning this Wolves-Burnley match a lot. But Wolves, I don't know if they want to say if I want to say dominated, but they were outplayed by Norwich last match. And like, I'm not convinced that they're that much of a better team than Burnley. So 3,200 set pieces, that seems like a pretty good way to go there for cash games.
Yep, I would agree with you. This lineup that Wolves is going to throw out there against them too is like, it should be an even matchup. It's not like Wolves are that much better. You're right. It's like a 50-50 game. Brownhill seems like the cash play.
Yeah, Brownhill, Cornet. There you go. That seems like a 2 goals right there, or at least 2 goals, 2 assists. That's what I'll say. 2 Cornet goals.
Yeah. So that's now Ward-Prowse and Brownhill. I got in the midfield spots, so we can go from there.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Defender is, I'm going to say, you know, the hardest thing you want to decide on here. So we got Reece James, and we can decide, or we can find out in the second round of the lineups coming out here, that he's either going to play or he's not going to play. And he's 8,700. So if your lineup has him in there and he doesn't play, you're going to have to make a lot of decisions, I guess we'll say, because his replacement will either be Azpilicueta, who is 4,600, or Hudson Adoy, who is 7,500. So are your original builds going to have Reece James in here? Is there too much of a question with that? And also, is he too expensive there at 8,700 without guaranteed set pieces?
Yeah, like I think even if he was 100% healthy, they probably still wouldn't have Reece James, at least cash games, just because there's too many other options. Like the opportunity cost between James and the next guy, or the difference between James and the next guy, isn't that big. Or, you know, is James better than Trent? I don't know. He's 700 more, though. Is James better than Marcus Alonso? Is $1,800 cheaper than James and taking a ton of set pieces? At least he has been. So I'd probably just go Alonso over James, or Alexander Arnold over James. Again, I don't think you're going to be able to fit all these guys in. We're going to have to use like still expensive but cheaper defender than these guys. Like we got Ryan Aitnori, who continues to crush, basically.
You're definitely playing him. I know that for sure.
I mean, it's hard not to when he just does it every time. And then, you know, I wouldn't force it, but home against Burnley is what you want. So like, that's a great matchup. So it's a fine price, like 6,200. You might like, it kind of seems like I could see where you'd think it's expensive on this slate just because he's not on one of the elite teams, but that's okay. He plays forward and he takes sets. So yeah, I'm going Aitnori most likely. I don't know. Like, tell me what you think. Like, break down these like expensive defenders. Where are you going to start?
Yeah. So the first look I did, I decided not to go with any of the high price guys. Like Cancelo at 7,100 is not what I'm looking at right there. Just with no set pieces, really, 7,100. And that just that matchup in general, I don't know. I know Manchester City are a big favorite. They're going to have a lot of possession, but I don't know. Something that Villa are doing under Gerrard. So, like, I looked at their recent matches. They've had 37% possession in their last two matches, but they just aren't allowing good looks on net. Like, they won their first two matches under Gerrard, but the expected goals for both combined teams is only like one. And if they can somehow continue to do that, just, you know, Manchester City will have 70% possession, but they won't have the good looks and on that kind of thing. They won't have the good crosses in the box, that kind of thing. I'm just not a huge fan of Manchester City on the slate. And then when you got an expensive Cancelo without set pieces, I'm off of that. Mm-hmm. I do like Alonso, like you said, just the price difference there between him and James is the way to go. Can't recommend Dina against Liverpool, but yeah, first look, I was looking at, like you, Aitnori, 6,200 seems like a lot, but they didn't have a ton of set pieces last match. He still found his way to 13.3 points. He's already had a big 22.5 match without making the score sheet against West Ham. Burnley. So there's really a lot of ways to go. And like, if you don't even want to spend up on Alexander Arnold, like Robertson is 5,300. And we mentioned him on the last show, like he ended up, I think he assisted the first goal, finished with, I don't know, maybe the same amount of points as Alexander Arnold had. Mm-hmm. Obviously he doesn't have the same floor, but you got to think he still has the upside, and he's 5,300, which is, I guess on this slate, it's actually kind of cheap. So I think there's cheap guys. Sure, there's expensive guys, but if you don't want to spend all the way up on defender, like you can go cheaper. Like there's even Lamptey down here, 4,900. Like he, maybe he won't go the full 90, but like he does so much on the field that he can still get you 10 points in most matchups. So there's a lot of ways to go, really.
Yeah, no, I agree with all that. You can also throw in Cucurella, who he took three corners and Gross took seven. I even noticed Cucurella running over from the left side to take a right-sided corner. So, you know, I'd assume he takes a few set pieces going forward, playing on the wing also. So, you know, he's a similar option to Lamptey. Yeah, both those guys are okay away to West Ham. Like, not the greatest matchup, but not prohibitive either. Those are similar options to Robertson, those three. You could – I think any of those three would be fine. Again, like paying up for, you know, Trent, a Chelsea guy, and eight Nori. Like, is it doable? That's what I would want to do. Like, I would want to play Trent, eight Nori, and Alonso. It might be tough, but I guess it depends what you do at goalie. It depends if you punt Brownhill.
So, if you go Havertz, actually.
Yeah, you could go Havertz. Yep. Is there anyone cheaper than that? Like, are there any cheap defenders? I didn't even really get a chance to look yet.
I mean, if you do, I don't know. Like Luke Thomas at 4,000, he's all right. Like, I don't know. There's like, if you do spend down, I want to say on a fullback, like you're at the risk of what? 5 to 7 points compared to, you know, all these other guys have almost a guaranteed floor of 10 points here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I mentioned Zinchenko earlier and the chance that he starts again, it's going to mess around with some lineups, but 3.8 as a defender.
Yeah. Give me Zinchenko if he starts. I agree. Where was it? I played him recently. Oh, Champions League. He started against PSG. He actually had a good first half, but they went down 1-0, so he got subbed off. If City have the lead, I would expect him to stay out there. I like Zinchenko at that price. Fullbacks, I don't know. I don't really see much. Kiko Femenia, 3.3. Has like maybe a little higher floor than some people might think, but bad matchup against Chelsea.
If you want to go for the center back goal, I think Rudiger is the guy here.
Oh,
I think he's not going to be my pick just because he's 4,300 here. But like, if you want to go for that center back goal, he has multiple shots in 7 of his last 9 matches. And like, just given this matchup, you got to think that he's just going to get more chances against Watford. So.
Yeah, he continues to crush, honestly. I feel like I've watched a lot of Chelsea games lately, and he's always getting his head on corners and crosses. He might be like the best in the Premier League at attacking corners. It's every week, like you said, it's every week. So, he's expensive, but that's probably like the price he should be. I mean, he's averaging over eight fantasy points. That's pretty good for a center back.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't know. Nothing really.
No, yeah. Just trying to scroll through quickly. Like, nothing really. Cheap center back for a favorite, maybe, if you want one. But a lot of opportunity cost at defender on this slate. Like, for tournaments at least, I'll be playing two good defenders at least. On every team. I know like a lot of people, I don't know, people are starting to do that, but a lot of times on the slates, people would just, you know, look to get in Salah or, you know, Liverpool and City and Chelsea or however many of them as you can. And then you end up with, you know, a City center back or a Liverpool center back and like, you know, a bad fullback, and you just get crushed. You just get crushed most of the time when the expensive defenders just have a normal game, much less like go off. So I'll be like just looking for the cheap goal, looking for the guys who, you know, score a goal and score the same amount of points as Jota or whoever scores for Liverpool. Just as far as construction, that seems to work out better over the long haul.
Yeah. Yeah. So for goalkeeper here, are you even considering spending up on these guys? Ederson, 5,900, Mendy, Alisson. I mean, these guys, is there any reason to spend up on this on a six game slate here for guys who, you know, may not get a clean sheet?
Yeah, I don't think so. Just because, well, a lot of reasons. Like, we need all the money we can get on this slate. And even if there is value, like, okay, so one of these guys is at least one. I mean, probably two is, you know, scoring 12, which is good. So if this was a three game slate and all three of them were on it, I would try to afford one because the three keepers going against them, you know, it's likely they all score under 10, and they might even, a couple of them might get crushed. So then, like, the difference you can make up at the goalie position becomes significant and, like, really helpful to your lineups. But there's three other games where you can, you know, find someone who scores double digits in. So yeah, I'll pay down at keeper. For anyone, really, for whoever correlates in my lineup best. I mean, are there any like specific keepers or like spots you're looking at? Like, okay, start with this. Which one of the three cheap home keepers do you have interest in, any of them against Liverpool, City, Chelsea?
Based off my thoughts, what I said earlier about Manchester City, I kind of like Martinez. I think he's going to get the save opportunities. And we've already seen Manchester City go scoreless against a team like Crystal Palace. Like, maybe they're going to have possession. Maybe they're going to get some looks. But Villa just haven't been allowing that many good looks. I mean, sure, it's been two matches against non-Manchester City teams, but I think that has to mean something with the way they're playing. And otherwise, I just don't think they're as likely to allow the four or five goals, whereas mm-hmm. Liverpool could pile it on Everton. Chelsea could pile it on Watford. I just don't think it's as likely for that to happen against Villa.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are good points. And I just like, I like Martinez also, because at least if Mahrez doesn't start, it like kind of seems like I'll have less City than Chelsea and Liverpool. So it just sort of makes sense to go with Martinez then. What about these other three games? You got a clean sheet in there? Can we find a clean sheet somewhere in these other three games?
There is a clean sheet somewhere. I just don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah. You know, Nick Pope looks okay, obviously. 4,100. You know, in a matchup that we've talked about that's could be pretty even. You know, he's not much more expensive than goalies who are, like, very likely to lose. So Pope is, like, Pope, Sanchez, similar thing.
Like, the matchup makes sense for Pope, really, just because Wolves have pretty much struggled to score all season. It's just that Burnley's defense has kind of fallen apart lately, and so
yeah,
it makes it kind of tougher. But you know, there's always a situation that this is another scoreless draw or something, and you're getting three saves and a clean sheet or something like that, or even a possible win. I guess if you go with Brownhill and Cornet there, you can get that. You can get the win and clean sheet too.
Yeah. It's just good salary compared to the other ones. Like, I'll probably make some lineups that end with Sanchez and then just switch it to Pope, assuming that the lineups don't have Wolves or West Ham attackers. Like, I like those guys at the same price, where hopefully one of them does well, sort of make the same lineup with each of the keepers. But obviously, it's goalie. Play whoever you want. Play who fits the construction.
I'd say if you have money for some reason, I'd say Alisson is the best option, even though it doesn't say it in price, just because I think he has more save opportunities. than the other guys. Like, I don't think Watford are going to get a ton of looks. We already mentioned the people out for them. And then Villa, they already haven't been getting a lot of shots on target in the last couple matches with Gerrard. So I think, and then it's a derby anyway, and that match is always, you know, a little more yeah, higher paced and up and down kind of thing. So I think the saves will be there for Alisson. Obviously, there's more possibility he doesn't get the clean sheet, but those are the chances you take there for paying $5,700 for a goalkeeper.
Right. So normally I agree with you in this matchup. I just want to, like, Everton have looked as bad as, like, I can ever remember seeing them. And then, you know, not having Calvert-Lewin and, yeah, okay, I don't know. I think Everton are in trouble. For me, if I have to make a prediction out of those three, like, out of those three big underdogs, I think Watford will take more shots than Everton and Villa. But we shall see.
Well, you got Townsend and Gray. That's like having two Ronaldos on the same team. Those guys are just going to unleash shots from outside the box. You don't think that's going to be result in saves there?
Townsend has one shot in his last four games. no, obviously, it's also, you know, it's kind of random and lucky too, you know, which way the ball bounces, I guess, if shots go on target or not. If, I don't know, like, it's trying to predict it, whatever.
Yeah. All right. I think that's all we got. I don't know. We talked an hour without Joran, which I didn't think was possible, but here we are.
No, I thought it was going to be a short one, but I mean, you know, we didn't really know the slate too much. So we kind of just rambled through it, trying to figure it out. It was pretty good.
Yeah. A lot of talk about, a lot of decisions to make, and then more decisions to make tomorrow once lineups come out. So good luck with that. But that's it for the show. If you have any questions for us, Ryan is at Ryan Belangi. I am at RotoZadroic. That's on Twitter. You can find us on the RotoWire Discord, which is, you can find that through rotowire.com/chat to get a free trial, 10-day free trial, that is. No credit card required, rotowire.com/soccer trial. Again, this has been Talking Wednesday's 6-game slate at DraftKings. Make sure to like and subscribe wherever you're listening. Thank you to So Rare for sponsoring. And that's it for the show. Good luck to Rudiger. He's going to get this goal. Neither one of us are probably going to play him. He's probably going to be about 3% in GPP or something, and he's going to get the goal and clean sheet. So congrats to everyone playing him. Ryan, thanks for joining me today, and we'll see everyone, as usual, on Friday.
Thanks, Adam.